La fleur de la solitude. Episode 10. Part 2. La vie violette. Purple Town.
You know, all your clients brought their plants, so it was time for me to bring mine.
Ma chérie, tu m'as manqué. I miss you. I missed us. I missed us.
Frida, don't cry. Come on, come on. Give me that love to evolve. Another hug. Quick, quick. Bien. Bien. So... you want to say that you are not in love?
Oh, you! Oh, pardon, pardon. I forgot. Oh, sorry. No, no. No and no. I am not in love. With a man, as you would so obviously love to. You know what? I think that this word love, just as the word God, is the most distorted word in all languages. Friendship is the biggest form of human respect. Yeah, friendship. As soon as love, better to say chemistry, comes in, friendship disappears.
Oh, la la. Okay. Something really happened.
No, L, no. Oh. I mean... I'm just trying to love myself and live as if that's enough. And give myself to the world. Look, I started volunteering in a public kitchen last month, and I can tell you, it's pretty challenging. Since then, an apron has a completely different meaning in my life, and wearing it in a public kitchen became one of the best things I've ever done. Serving and taking care of others fills you with such emotions that when you come home afterwards, you don't think about how you miss love. I mean a partner. But how you are blessed that you can give love. We say that love is a feeling. But as a matter of fact, love is an action. A feeling provoked by an action. I give lunch to someone. They thank me. They give me a smile, good energy. And this is how we care about each other.
Bien. Okay. I know what you are trying to say. But I am not talking about universal love. Frida, I am talking about the love that you can make in bed.
Elle, what happened to you?
Elle, what happened to you? What happened to you? Elle, what happened to me? Well... I almost died, remember? Can you please...
Oh, bien sûr. Attends, attends.
And please, merci. Lower your pitch. I just praised you.
Here you are, madam.
Mock, mock. Laugh at me, mock, mock me. Merci. It is nice that you are such an empathic person. I knew that from the start. But please, don't run away from human needs. You've chosen solitude. I got that. And I support that, as I've been through a similar phase in life.
But Frida, please, even if it's not important. I'm a bit older than you, so please, please listen to me. We are here in this body only once. Experience it. Live through it. We lived before and we will live after. But now, we are here to be with each other. Otherwise, we would all live in our individual planets pas de contact. With no contact. Like you and your collaborateur.
Now, come on. Now you're dragging him into this? Anyway, I don't believe in soulmates anymore.
Who asked you about a soulmate? I am telling you to have fun until it's too late.
Okay. Define me to have fun. And until when a person should have fun, by your definition?
To have fun means to do whatever you feel doing and on your terms.
Okay. I do that.
But you don't. You don't have fun with guys.
You mean like you had with your neighbor or with Monique's father? I'm so sorry. I did. I just can't handle it anymore. People tell me how I should live. You never did that. I don't know what possessed you. Elle, I know myself and what makes me happy. Maybe I'm weird to some people, but I don't need parties to have fun. I don't need men to dance around me like bees around a flower so I would love myself more. I don't need money, traveling, or presents. But if I need anything, it's people's presence, honesty, and openness. And it seems that I'm asking too much, that I'm too complicated, too deep. When I talk about love, look, I cannot marry someone who tells me that it's only going to get worse with time. That's like smashing into the World Trade Center. Who would choose that self-destruction? Only crazy people, yeah. And am I crazy? Am I crazy for quitting to be the second or the third option to someone? Am I crazy for rejecting to be someone's incubator for a perfect baby? Am I crazy for listening to my heart when rejecting someone because he's nice to me, but I have no feelings for him? Even though he's a good opportunity? If that's normal in today's world, yes. I am officially crazy. Officially. It proved to me 100 times that the only thing that makes sense is real love. The love that's not self-seeking. The love that you decide to follow no matter how it ends. Of course, that doesn't mean the brain is excluded. This love starts with yourself and continues on to others. And we all do it in different ways. And that's why it usually sucks and why we feel neglected. Our mutual languages differ. And that confuses us. There is love on this planet, but not much of this one I talk about. That's why relationships don't last. We measure non-stop how much each one invests in it. Do you know anyone who has that kind of love? And who at the same time didn't lose his or her ego at one point. People also lose dignity, but that's another story. That's completely another direction. To break yourself for someone is sometimes necessary, yes, but that shouldn't be an everyday action. There is a limit that shouldn't be crossed. Ever. To love and let go. to give the person the freedom to choose, and still afterwards, even though he or she didn't choose you, to forgive. And still continue being in the vicinity of that person without anger. That means to love. The wedding vows like, I take you for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us apart. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. These vows mean something. Even if people split, that doesn't mean that you stop honoring that person. All days of my life. Yes, we split. But I continue loving you in a different way. For all the good that you gave me. Yes, it takes strength to do that. That's love. To love someone, no matter what. Like the water. Remember? Love just changes the shape. If they hurt you, okay. You thank them for the lessons and move on.
Wow.
We are all responsible for our choices. I'm sure we are all able to see red flags. But anyway, we decide to stay in that relationship. We spend some time with those people because we needed them for our growth and they needed us for theirs. That's why we choose some people, because subconsciously we need them. And that's love, too. That's the love we know at that moment. Yes. They are different kinds of needs. Sometimes we need to heal our childhood wounds. And sometimes we crave to be led to our souls. What's in the final, the basic craving, I think. Those are the actions that change you from the inside and make you go through hell and back. And then you can say that you have loved. That you've loved a soul that came here to help you, outgrow yourself. That you have found
a soulmate?
No. I told you that I don't believe in them.
Even if you are looking at one right now.
But how can you be my soulmate? How can you be my soulmate?
After all this that you spilled out to me, I am still here.
That's because you cannot go anywhere.
Nice.
It's a joke. A joke, El.
Nice, Frida.
But if I were in your shoes, I probably wouldn't forgive myself either. I mean, I wouldn't forgive myself anyway.
Whenever I think that I'm stuck, usually at the beginning of something, it's just enough to think of you, and immediately it becomes a little easier.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. Okay, I'm relieved. At least it makes someone feel better. I know. To forgive ourselves is the most important thing. But yes, I feel that way. As I am addicted to this feeling, obviously.
Well, c'est possible to be addicted to negative feelings or thoughts. And you know, that also has a name. It's called negolism. But don't worry, you are not there.
You are just like that at the moment, because we touched on a topic that's of great importance to you.
Soulmates.
Yeah. Soulmates.
Okay. But tell me, how can something I don't believe in anymore be of great importance to me? Tell me.
Can we talk about it?
No. No. I mean, really, we have more important stuff to talk about. And I'm about to leave. They're going to throw me out. The visiting hour is over.
Okay, I won't go there. But please, will you find some time? Think a bit about why you don't believe in it. NSF says that around 80% of our thoughts are negative, and 95% of them are repetitive. I just think that you've been repeating some thoughts to yourself too many times in order to explain the pain to yourself, to comfort yourself when it was too difficult to go through the loneliness. Or some difficult experience with a twin flame, for example, that might have broken you down.
Twin flame? Al, it's really not the moment.
It's something like a relation karmique. A karmic relationship that serves as a tutorial for our soul to become a better person and correct past hurts. Hurts. Oh mon dieu. And it teaches us painful lessons. The theory is that before we met in this life, we had known each other from another lifetime and consented to meet again to sort out some issues. From this, we grow or fall apart. These kinds of relationships don't happen very often. A twin flame will always be a romantic partner. So don't worry, it's not me.
Wait. Soulmate is not a romantic partner?
It can be, but not necessarily. You know, when it comes to a romantic soulmate, you will know. It will feel like home.
Oh, I get it. Theoretically, I think. I get it. That's why you said you were my soulmate, right? Oh, it's crazy how most of the time we don't know what we are talking about and how we misuse the terms. And you always teach me something. But how do you know all these things? And how come you are always so kind to me? You always find your ways to call me, to teach me. And how did I deserve that?
With all that you are.
But I just hurt you inexcusably.
That's what you think. No one can hurt us if we don't allow them. It's like with the words, with the present, remember? If I don't accept it, it's still yours. Frida. It's not you who hurt me. I mean, who you think that hurt me. But a part of you that still didn't grow and heal. Or in case you really hurt me, I would be hurt by a part of myself that still didn't heal. But no worries. I am seeing the whole picture, and you are doing just fine with your process.
Oh my god. All these stories about growth. I'm so tired of growth. And it is very hard when someone else talks about it. After I worked so hard on myself, I still feel defeated when someone else points out my mistakes. And this brings me back to the beginning we mentioned a few minutes ago. Why can't I just be still, in peace, with or without someone?
What was your definition of a soulmate?
Well, I think I actually didn't have it, as I was strongly confused if that was supposed to be someone with whom we live in peace, who understands us in silence, or someone who pushes us out of our comfort zone. But I don't care anymore. I don't have a need to put a label on anything anymore. It only confuses me. Anyway, now it's not the time for love or feelings. I am focused on my health. It is love or it's not. My definition is that if it hurts too much, it should be done. Over. Kaput. Fini. No more suffering.
You see, you are my girl.
Al, do you have something more to tell me?
mon bébé, I still love muscles. Nothing changed there. But let's be serious now. Yes, there are many definitions of a soulmate. But the main problem of today is that people have lost their capability to recognize their soulmates. Partially because they are programmed to be fulfilled by physical love. So they are deaf and blind to vibrations and light from the heart. And partially because they were disappointed so many times that they stopped believing in love, just as they stopped believing in God. And so, scientists claim that the brain is the organ of love. But I still believe it is our heart, because love comes from a spiritual level. Yes, scientists can measure biochemical and hormonal reactions in the brain, but the heart is the spiritual center that creates this hardly understandable thing called love. Have you ever met someone new and felt an instant connection?
Yeah, many times. And not only with guys, with friends. My girlfriends, I mean, too.
That's why I'm trying to tell you. We meet our soulmates every day. And that's what confuses most of us. Most of us think that it is only one person. They aren't always romantic, but can be platonic. A soulmate is not our other half. Well, most of the time, that's not the person who will make our life flourish. A soulmate is the person who will shake us, turn us toward ourselves, help us to take off our layers, and leave us alone to confront ourselves. They help us meet ourselves. Just like with twin flames, we know these souls from past lives, and they travel with us. That's where that feeling of connection comes from. Because we have recognized ourselves. You can find it in your friend, your sister, or your father.
Or in Immortel?
With anyone we have a deep connection with. There is one difference. All of them can leave, but Immortel stays. A soulmate doesn't have to be in our life forever. When I was young, I met my answer romantique, my romantic soulmate, at a very young age. Otherwise, I would never let him touch me. But with him, it felt like home. I cannot say that he was my soul partner because we were very young and we barely knew who we were. But with him, I felt like with no one else before or after.
Monique's dad?
Da. Well, Monique's dad.
I'm sorry, I'm really...
Pas de problème, mon bébé. Pas de problème. In the beginning, I blamed him a lot. But later on, when I fell in love with my girl... I realized that he came with me to France, just in a different body. Oh, they are so similar. When she looks at me, I see not one, but two pairs of warm chestnut eyes. Mladiču. You know, when he kissed me for the first time, I instantly thought that I was pregnant. As my grandma once told me that that's the way to do it. Oh la la, I slept him so hard that day. Oh, poor guy. The mark of my end stayed on his cheek for 2 days. But he wasn't mad at all. Even though he was poor, he always had the manners of gentilhomme, of a gentleman, as his family was pretty respected in the past. My dad had nothing against him. But, as I told you that day in the park, he just wanted the best for me. He would say that I have to be properly married. But at the end of it, I knew that for him, nothing or no one was proper enough. Every time someone would ask for me, he would start making up things like how I was too young, how I had to go to school, and blah, blah, blah. I was the youngest of his 4 children, and somehow he didn't want to let me go. His smile was too special for him. He couldn't imagine she's not around. Well, yes. He called her Smile. So her scent would stay with him wherever she goes.
Wow. Smile. Immortel. But wait, you lied to me.
I didn't lie. Okay. I just said a white lie. I couldn't tell you everything at the beginning.
I just remembered Smia. Like, Smia. I mean, who would have ever thought of that? God. But I agree with your dad. Yeah. You are special. So, you would.
Well. every year, a week before Easter, the whole family would go to the island of Hvar.
Hvar.
To the house of my mother's family. When my mother got married, that was one of the conditions for my father. She respected that tradition. And as he loved her, he had to respect it too. That's how I met Maro, Monique's father. As soon as we met, we had a special connection. We would see each other during the summer and every year during that week before Easter. Everyone knew that we were great friends, but no one knew how attached to each other we were. Not even us at the beginning. So, every Maundy Thursday on Hvar, there is a night procession, the Krijgen, following the cross, a unique ceremony of special piety and an expression of the religious and cultural identity of the inhabitants of the middle part of the island that has been held for 5 centuries. It starts exactly at 10 p.m. and finishes at 6 a.m. 6 processions start simultaneously from 6 parish churches from the middle part of the island. Every procession is led by a cross-bearer, a man carrying a cross. The role of the cross-bearer is an immense honor, determined as many as 20 years in advance. In spring 1982, my older brother was the bearer, and that was a great honor to my family. Unfortunately, fortunately, if I may say, my hormones didn't understand the greatness of that honor. I was glad for my brother, but for myself also, as that meant that I would spend 8 hours in a row with Maro. Since I was 7 and Maro 9, we would walk for 25 kilometers every year in the procession. Everyone was surprised how 2 little kids had so much stamina. But we enjoyed each other's company so much that 8 hours would pass like 1 hour. Everyone thought how religious, polite, and obedient we were. But we were just 2 teenagers in love, driven by enormous passion. And that procession was one of the rare opportunities when we could be outside of the house and far away from the eyes of my family. Through years, our liking became, passion. And afterward, obsession. Which finally made us end up in some oliveyard. That was the last time we ever saw each other.
Wow. Now I get the olives part. I mean the small gallery and the painting in the room. I'm sorry, but I saw it today when I was with Monique in the apartment.
No worries. Uh, No worries.
Can you?
Yeah. Anyway, everything is falling apart. Truth is always the strongest, no matter how hard we try to suppress it. Yes, that's my story with olives. A romantic one.
And you know nothing about him. Is he married? Does he have kids? I mean, Maro, yeah?
No. He was hard, but I thought it was better not to know. Today, I'm not sure. Today, I'm not sure in that, as I still think of him almost every day. More and more with years.
But why don't you go back and find out?
Frida, for some things, it's better that they stay buried in the past.
Yeah, but when they are resolved, and your story is definitely not.
I don't know, Frida. Going back to those places that I probably wouldn't even recognize today, it would be very painful, and I'm not sure if I'm ready for it. I have to admit, a few years ago, I saw some pictures accidentally, as Monique was looking for where we could spend our summer vacation, she showed me the photos of my hometown. I was crushed by its devastation. I am not sure which part of it was, but I felt an instant fear.
What's the name of the place?
I'm sorry, I don't pronounce it. I haven't since.
All right. Can you tell me, can you show me where it is so I will?
Why is it so important to you?
Because you are important to me. I care about things you care about.
But I don't care for a long time now.
Sorry, but I don't buy it. Everyone cares about their family and birthplace more than anything, especially if there are traumas there. The bigger the trauma, the bigger the importance. The only reason you say that you don't care is because it hurts too much. So burying the memory of it was an easier way. Can you please tell me where it is?
Bien. I will. But only if you tell me where's Fidel. Why is it so hard to tell the truth? Because you two are afraid of my reaction? That it might upset me and make me follow him. My friend was a smart friend. Smarter than all of us. He taught me so much about life. I just hope he didn't suffer. Well, everyone has their limit of tolerance. It seems that my Fidel reached his one when it comes to me. Bien sûr. He couldn't stand me anymore. I became insupportable.
No, I think he left because he knows that from now on you can do it all by yourself.
Uh, I know he's in the better place. He always knew to choose the best place. The best piece of the fish. Just like my grandpa. My dad's father. My grandpa wasn't a fisherman, but he loved fishing. He would make a good catch, but most of the fish would be lost before he would return home. He would share it on his way back, or barter for a wine, when his own, I mean from his personal production, would be gone. Well, he was very caring. But very often he lived in his own world. He would give us everything. But then, in some rare moments, like during lunch, when all of us were around the table, he would act like a child, by being the first one taking the best part of fish or meat for himself. If he was very angry, he wouldn't be aware of what he's done. But Grandma would make it clear enough that he did the wrong move. Dad told me how much they loved each other. She would hit him over his fingers with a kitchen cloth, and he would chase her, teasing her how much he loved her. Oh, it was weird back then. I mean, for that time. But love is love. My parents were retelling these events over and over. And I am not sure if I was even born at that time. Afterwards, he would do everything to apologize. He was like Grandma's fifth child. Grandpa was a carpenter. But besides fishing, as a hobby, he was producing wine for personal needs, family ones. Or better to say, his needs. Although she loved him, Grandma loved him, but she couldn't stand some parts of his character. Especially the one that included wine. He would go out to the sea and be gone for the entire day. Every time he was gone for more than 2 days, everyone knew what was coming. He would come back home drunk, and very often without food for family. Ooh la la. He would run out of his wine, and on his way back would barter fish for wine. The hardest thing for Grandma was the fact that he was so charming and difficult at the same time. Regardless of the time of day, everyone knew what was happening because he would sing on his way home. He would sing beautifully.
Jeli moja milena, sila kraj prozora. Jeli moja milena, sila kraj prozora.
Beautifully.
But even though this was pleasurable for the entire neighborhood, for my family, it was shameful. Because of his irresponsibility, most of the time the family was eating wheat semolina. My dad told me that he tried all possible versions of semolina. At the time, he couldn't stand the word semolina, not to mention smelling it or tasting it. Just as with my dad, I loved spending time with my grandpa. The two of them didn't get on really well, but maybe it was because of the semolina trauma. Who knows? I didn't know the reason why my dad was mostly glum in his presence, because for me, grandpa was my grandpa. He knew everything. He knew all the answers, all the stories, jokes, Greek myths, even though he attended only a few grades of school. Very often he would read. He was a bookworm. Just as much as Grandma loved it, that was another thing she disdained. He would impress her with his knowledge, and then knock her down with his bad habits. Each habit of his meant a loss to her. Because of him, I had an A in history. Learning history in school was boring, but with Grandpa, I couldn't stop listening. It just crossed my mind now. Once, while Grandpa and I were together, all of a sudden, my dad tore me away from him. I felt weird. Almost as if I had stolen the father of my father. Well, Grandpa had free time. Through the stories, he told me everything he knew about my ancestors, our village, and our town. I remember the time when he was visiting the priests in the monastery for months as he was investigating our family tree. Oh, he was obsessed with it. Of course that grandma was freaking out. She would hide his meal in order to get his attention. But nobody could distract him. Afterwards, I don't recall meeting anyone with a stronger focus than his. Of course, when he wasn't drunk. A few times Grandma sent me with him on a boat, so I would take care of him as he would be more responsible. As our village is above the town, au pied de la montagne, at the foot of the mountain, and Grandpa didn't have a car, very often he would hitchhike. Volis malo pricha si udiva. I love talking to strangers, he would say. And that was his answer to Grandma when she asked him why he didn't accept my dad's offer to give him a car. In this way, he would always meet someone and find out some news. One of those moments, it was July, while it was still dark and just about to dawn, I remember I was around 10. Dad took us in his car to the town, to the harbor. Before we went on our small boat, we went to get voltsy. Murex, sea snails, yeah, sea snails from other fishermen. He didn't use them as baits for fishing every time, but this time he wanted to catch Orada, the first lady of the fish. Dorado. Sea bream, I believe it's called. By getting murex snails as a favorite bite to the sea bream, the possibility of bringing home Grandma's favorite fish was the highest. He was so looking forward to making Grandma happy, as of course, he made her angry the day before. But as the snails were so important for the First Lady of the Fish and my grandparents, while we were preparing the bites in our small boat on the calm sea, he told me the story about our noble origin and how one of the reasons for its existence were the snails. But this time, their precious shells. The ancient Phoenicians used the secretions of their glands to produce a beautiful crimson dye. That's why they founded their colonies on the coasts where there were a lot of Volsci. Lumpy and spiny. The production of crimson was a tedious one, but lucrative for business. It was necessary to remove several hundreds of snails for 1 gram of pure paint. The extracted glands were placed in containers, salted, kept in the sun for several hours, and then boiled for 10 days on low heat. The liquid gradually changed from colorless to white, then yellow, green, blue, and finally purple. Phoenician crimson was extremely expensive and in demand throughout the Mediterranean. And in Greece, it was also used as a lip color cosmetic. After all, the very name Phoenicians comes from the word phoenix, red. In our region, the volac, the shell, was used as a container for an oil lamp in ancient times. Oil was poured into the house, and a wick was passed through the elongated channel. So, for this reason, as the Adriatic Sea surrounding the town was full of Volsci, I mean murex, my grandpa called the town Lilagrad, La Ville Violette. Purple town. He would say, purple is a royal color and the color of spirituality. It's associated with intuition and the mystical side of life. It is very rare, but precious, especially in nature. Later on, when I was learning about colors, I realized that violet, purple, has the shortest wavelength and the highest color vibration of the visible light spectrum. It is really the color of people who seek spiritual fulfillment. Purple represents transformation, creativity, and spiritual awareness. As a symbol of penance and a call to conversion, it is used in Christianity during the Lent. Another reason for the existence of our noble origin is the fact that Grandpa found out something very interesting about our family tree. He told me that our blood is noble, as it comes from the Gutchage family. He would say, our bloodline goes back all the way to the arrival of Croats to the sea in the 7th century, when, according to the legend, Croats led by 5 brothers and 2 sisters moved to our land. Never forget that, as it is so rare that someone has documented proof of the entire family tree. Maybe it doesn't matter to you now, but it will when you are older.
Wow. 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 I feel... I just watched an episode of a TV series. And I really want to continue watching. Wow. I can't imagine eating snails. Even the famous l'escargot bourguignon. But I've always admired them from a distance. The way they move, slowly carrying their houses on their backs. They have a lot to teach us about life.
There were 2 villages at the foot of that great mountain. From which the town port of Lilagrad, La Ville Violette, was born.
Mladiču.
Finally, the town was called by the name of my village, Mukurum, or Mukrum. What's the name of your village?
Divojko, u radosti je ključ, u osmijehu ti spasenje. Mladiću, u pogledu je ključ, u oku tvom je odgovor na svako pitanje. Preživljava, zato
Бачино, майка, у ньой видіти ти ж своє світання. Вишено, майка, у ньой видіти ти ж своє світання. Роджен да свет сагради, не да гаса храни, зачет да те обрани, не да те обої. Поштуй га до края, і біче ти вишено, майка, у ньому чеш видіти своє світання.